One of the great challenges of working in government is bringing experience from other sectors to bear on how we manage in a government environment. And one of the distinct lessons I recall in my past is working in the city of Chelsea, Massachusetts, where we were asked to rescue a bankrupt city. We joined a three-person team called the Receivership Team of private sector experts to practice our art in the public sector. And while we became the first city in the Commonwealth to balance the budget in just 10 months, what we found ourselves doing was drawing on our private sector experience and then changing the way we managed to be far more inclusive, more participatory in our approach. We have a fabulous secretary at VA, former General Rick Shinseki, now Secretary Shinseki. He is deeply invested in our veterans, in reaching out to the stakeholder community, working with Congress and the White House. He also moves freely in the management realm inside the department. My job as Chief Operating Officer, as the direct report for all of the principal elements of VA, is to synchronize execution of his vision. We're here for veterans. Our whole reason for being is to serve the almost 23 million veterans in America and to provide them with the services and the benefits that they've already earned. It's very distinct from a situation we might find ourselves in Social Security or education where someone is reaching for an entitlement. Here, our thinking is quite different, and that is that every person who's raised their right hand to serve their country, and in some cases fought on our behalf, has already earned the rights to those benefits and health care. So we're very focused, and I'm very focused, on the mission and on veterans. My father was a World War II veteran. He served in not only in World War II, but also in Korea, and went to college in the GI Bill. And later on in life, he gave me a call. I was in my late 20s, a lieutenant in the Navy, serving in Rochester, New York at the time. And he asked me to come home. He said he was very sick, and he had Alzheimer's. I was his primary caregiver for the next 14 months of his life. At the end of that time, we went to a VA hospital, and boy, did we need the help that the VA had to offer. He spent the next 11 years of his life there, 10 years of that, incontinent and lying in a bed. And the VA staff that helped him through those years, ground the food, bathed him, changed him, were some of the best folks I've ever met, ever known. So when I come into this office here, every now and then I'll get to look out. I'll see the White House, kind of a nice view. But I remember the next family, just like mine, that's pulling up to the VA that needs that level of help. And so I hope that what we're doing here with all of these initiatives combined enriches the organization, its tradition of service, and delivers for that next patient, we have a lot of them, the kind of service that I'd be proud for a member of my own family to get. Second aspect of my leadership style would have to be people. You know my interest there. And two aspects of this come to mind. First, our responsibility to train people to do the jobs they're in and develop them to take the job that comes after that. So we've invested a lot of time and effort on making sure that our employees, our public servants, almost 300,000 of them here at the VA, are trained to do the jobs they're currently in, but they're also getting the leadership coaching, mentoring, and investment to take the next step. When you come into a large organization like the VA, there is a war you wage. The war on the one hand is a war to quickly articulate and define what direction you want to take in the organization. And the other is to stop and listen, because you're surrounded by individuals who have 25 or 30 years invested in the agency. And what we try to do is bring those two worlds together. Clear direction and a knowledge that we wanted to transform the VA at the direction of the president, and on the other hand, a distinct instinct to make sure that we were listening to our employees, to stakeholders and veterans tell us what they wanted. So we went through a fairly detailed process of surveying almost 20,000 of our employees, reaching out to the stakeholder community, interviewing, and going on a listening tour, if you will. And what we found and what we saw emerge were a set of priorities that our veterans were telling us they wanted us to focus on. For example, homelessness. As the president has said, it's a national tragedy when veterans are homeless in America. When we began our journey here to end homelessness in 5 years, there were 131,000 veterans sleeping on the streets of our cities every night. And so we committed ourselves to eliminating that over a five-year period. Another example would be one of the signature wounds of the war, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and mental health. We've marshaled a great many of our resources to try to address that issue. But underlying all of that, very public, high-priority performance goal are a series of management infrastructure goals that the Secretary and I have quietly set to improve how we manage information technology, human capital, financial management, logistics, and acquisition, because we believe that that management infrastructure directly influences our capacity to deliver the services and benefits that we have very publicly said we're going to do. I'll tell you a story about the setting the management goal for homelessness, a great example and very instructive of the challenges of leadership in a government environment and the value of setting specific, measurable time phase goals. So you can imagine in a very complex budget process that saying that you're going to end homelessness, which is an extraordinarily difficult thing to do, is one thing. But to say you're going to end it in 5 years gets the game to the next level. And so there were many who argued, look, don't say you're going to end homelessness, but don't give a clear deadline for that. Or say that you're going to substantially reduce homelessness, but bring it to zero. You know, how impractical could that be? And the Secretary and I felt very, very strongly, and ultimately the President did as well, that choosing an unambiguous, hard goal of ending homelessness in 5 years was the leadership thing to do, to galvanize activity in the community, to convince people that we are going to apply the resources needed to do this right, and that our planning would have a sense of urgency and commitment that matched our sense of indignation about veterans who were sleeping homeless on the streets at night. So that specific goal, time phase, measurable, tough to fund in an uncertain environment was absolutely the right thing to do, and it's, I think, a great example of how setting a clear goal can motivate action and help to organize the activities of many entities, many agencies that are involved in this effort. One of our favorite operating principles here in VA is a very simple one: who else needs to know? By asking that question, you force yourself to come to terms with the fact that there are many contributors to the solution that you seek, and that's particularly true in the case of the virtual lifetime electronic record that you mentioned a moment ago, known as VELER. And what we find ourselves doing is reaching out to these agencies formally, so directly to the senior management team. Here's our goal. We'd like to share that with you. How can we pool resources? How can we plan together? But then taking a many-to-many influence strategy to go beyond the basic chain of command and reach out to the other stakeholders involved, informing them and enlisting them in providing us help to achieve our goal. And then lastly, we turn to external stakeholders, the media, other agencies in the executive branch, non-governmental organizations, and advocacy groups, and essentially educate and share information with them. The combination of those things then creates a wave of focus and activity that we can guide and help us to implement our work. In addition to that step, then, I think importantly is to have accountability built into the system in a couple of ways. One is exactly the way our Chief Performance Officer and the OMB team are doing. Let's be very public and very transparent about what we're saying we want to do. Put that and make it easily available for people to see, and then consistently measure our performance against it to maintain agency accountability in that process. And then the final step in that is to link the agency goals to the individual accountability that comes from knowing that my performance evaluation and all of the senior executive work in the VA, that their success at the end of the year is directly tied to our ability to make progress on those goals. So we're, if you will, eating the elephant over a series of bites. We share it with other agencies. We then drop it down in the organization to the individual level, and the result is that in that moment, the problem is solvable because it's been decoupled and parsed in a way that an individual leader or a work team can actually find the work tractable. And we hope that that will then build its way back up, and we'll be reporting and continue to report very positive results in the area of VELER. One of the things that I struggle with every day is trying to create an environment where dialogue is possible and welcome in this office and throughout our management team. You know, it's real easy here in the 10th floor of the VA with a lot of oak paneling and carpets and so on. You can create a barrier where people don't feel that they're able to come in and say, hey, here are the facts, deputy. And what we really think is that you need to now modify your strategy or respond in a different way. So creating the environment where people know they're heard, they're valued and appreciated, and removing the obstacles to sharing that information with our executive team is absolutely critical. So first step is creating the environment where people can talk with you and share what they know. One of the things that I enjoy very much is we have created a management system, an operational management review system, that guides on a monthly basis our progress in each one of these activities. So this is not a situation where we've said, here's a big goal and we'll see you next quarter or see you at the end of the year. We've got to trust but verify. And so we've created a system with management dashboards, information, and vigorous discussion on a monthly basis with teams that are committed 100% to doing what they're doing. And for some of the senior managers, I brought them in here, and like the pin I'm wearing now that the secretary has, you can see the secretary's four stars on that. I'll take that device and pin it on their lapel and say, how I want you to think is if you were the secretary or deputy secretary of VA, and that everything was open to you, any resource, any person, all of the things that we have been so richly endowed with by the American people, American taxpayer, and put that at your service, put that at your disposal to be able to implement this thing. And of course, there's a little bit of a sense of, you know, weight on the shoulders, and people are coming to terms with that. But you see the spark jump, and you see people understand that we really mean it, that these are high priority performance goals. The resources are being prioritized in that direction. Our very best people are being put on it, and we are tracking relentlessly our progress in each one of these areas.